Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 11, verses 18 to 20. And the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed my cause. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who knows our needs and well provides for us, dear fellow redeemed, what a shock it must have been. What a shock it must have been to Jeremiah when the Lord told him that his own townspeople, many of them priests, were plotting to kill him. Why? Had he done something terrible? Had he been guilty of treason against a king? Was he unfaithful as a priest? No. He wasn't guilty of any of those things. He's only guilty of faithfully proclaiming the word of God. What Jeremiah proclaimed to the people angered, shamed, and embarrassed them, the people of his town. As we heard last Sunday, Jeremiah proclaimed a message of stern warning and judgment to faithless Judah. They had abandoned the Lord's words, or as Jeremiah said, they left the fountains of living water and dug for themselves wells that could hold no water. Instead of listening to God's word, which gives life and salvation, they listened to themselves, which would lead only to death and destruction. Jeremiah, through the Lord, gave words of warning, words of repentance. Turn to the Lord, but they refused to listen. And so now the Lord said, bring to Judah words of judgment. This judgment was so terrifying and so frightful that when Jeremiah proclaimed those words, he himself became physically ill. We read in Jeremiah 4, oh, my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise within me. I cannot hold my peace. Because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war, destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is plundered. But the people refused to listen. They didn't believe. They were led by the false priests and the false prophets to put their trust in the temple in Jerusalem. They believed, there's no way God is going to destroy us. We're God's people, the people of Israel. We're Judah. And there's no way he's going to allow Jerusalem to be destroyed. In Jerusalem is the temple, his very place that he lives, his home. And so they were led to put not their trust in the Lord Jehovah, but their trust in God's house. It's a lot like today, people believing that they'll get to heaven, escape damnation by being a member of a church. And so their trust is not in Jesus Christ, their trust is in their membership. That's like superstition, believing in something that really doesn't even exist. And so they continued in their godless ways, rejecting the Lord, and that also made Jeremiah terribly sick. Since they had broken God's covenant, since they refused to listen to his words, Jeremiah said, there's no hope. In fact, the Lord told Jeremiah, don't even pray for this people. Wow. You can see why Jeremiah's townspeople hated him so much. Because the words that he proclaimed enraged these false priests and these false prophets who were teaching and preaching a completely opposite message. Jeremiah said, gloom and doom and judgment because you're rejecting the Lord. And they said, peace, peace, safety. As God said, when there was no peace. They looked upon Jeremiah as being the problem, not themselves. And so they thought, get rid of the messenger, and you get rid of the message. Remind you of anybody? Remember King Ahab? When Elijah said, there'll be 3.5 years of drought because of you. And he thought, not my fault, it's your fault. Get rid of Elijah and I'll take care of it. Or King Herod, when his stepdaughter said she wanted John the Baptist's head from her mother because John had said, that marriage between you and Herodias, that's ungodly. So get rid of the messenger, and you're rid of the message. How foolish. It's not Jeremiah's message. It's God's message. Well, it seems that at first, Jeremiah had no inclination that they were angry with him. He had no idea that they hated him so much. He simply was preaching the word of God. He simply proclaimed the word of God and with all of his heart prayed that the people would repent and turn to the Lord and be saved. Little did he understand the depth of their hatred. Depth of their impenitence and their ungodliness. But their real anger wasn't really against Jeremiah. Their real anger was with the Lord. They didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to obey his commands. They wanted to do what they wanted to do with no judgment, with no results. The fault was not Jeremiah's, but it was their own. The reason for such a harsh words of warning and such harsh judgment was because of their immorality, their idolatry, their ungodliness. And so that stern warning of the law was proclaimed to lead them to repentance. In fact, by God revealing this secret plot that they were going to kill him to Jeremiah, the Lord again is leading the people to repent. He's showing them that you can't hide anything from me. God is saying, I see into your hearts. I know what you're doing. Did these false priests and prophets and people actually think that they could get away with this? They could secretly devise a plan to secretly carry out the murder, the killing of one of the prophets of God, and he wouldn't know anything about it? The Lord is surely showing to them two reasons why he told Jeremiah what was going to happen. One, to lead the people to repent, for them to acknowledge that the true Lord of heaven and earth knows everything that's happening. And two, to comfort Jeremiah, who is pretty much all alone at this time. Last Sunday, as we began this 4-week study of Jeremiah, we heard Jeremiah say to the Lord, I can't be a prophet. I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. And what did the Lord say? He said, do not say, I am a youth. For you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. So Jeremiah confidently went to proclaim the message of the Lord to the people of Judah. He proclaimed whatever God commanded him to proclaim to the people. And yet Jeremiah was shocked and saddened when the Lord told him, they're plotting to kill you. They hate you. They want you to shut up and be silenced. Jeremiah pictures his simplicity of heart in these words, but I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter. The word for docile means a favored domestic pet, a pet who's secure at the hands of his master. He had no idea. He would have been led to the slaughter by the people without even knowing that they were angry with him, wanted to kill him. Who does that remind you of? Isaiah 53, verse 7 says, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. In this way, Jeremiah was like Jesus, willingly led. But the difference was Jesus knew what was happening to him. He knew he was going to be slaughtered, and he went to the cross to be slaughtered and killed. Jeremiah sums up the intent of the evil of the people of Judah with these words in their plot. They said, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more." In other words, kill the tree, and you kill the fruit. Kill Jeremiah, and there'll be no more messages, no more judgment, no more warnings. We don't have to listen to this anymore. It'll all be done with. And when he is dead, he'll be dead and gone. He'll be silent. Nobody will ever remember that he even lived. Again, how foolish. It's not Jeremiah's message, it's God's message. You can't silence God. You can't silence his word. It is amazing in God's providence and power that all these men who plotted this thing, we don't even know their names. They're not even mentioned. And the one whom they wanted to obliterate from the face of the earth so no one would remember him anymore, his message has been proclaimed for 2,500 years. Throughout all the world, Jeremiah. From generation to generation, people have known Jeremiah and his words. And they'll continue to know Jeremiah and his words until the beginning of eternity. And no doubt we'll know about Jeremiah even in eternity. And his enemies don't even know who they were. The word of the Lord endures forever. The world, the words, the plots, the schemes, the actions of sinful man, they come to nothing. And even if the world does forget the child of God and doesn't remember him or her, the Lord does. The Lord knows you. The Lord knows his children. He'll never forget us, for he's with us always. In the last verse of our text, we see that Jeremiah put the whole situation into the Lord's hands. He said, "But O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed my cause." Now Jeremiah had read and knew Psalm 2, where the psalmist wrote, "Why do the heathen rage and the people plot a vain thing? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision." In Psalm 27, where David, the psalmist, wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and they fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident." Jeremiah's appeal is to the Lord's righteousness, that he judges righteously. God acts according to reality, not according to appearance, what things look like. The Lord is not neutral. The Lord defends his children. The Lord defends those who are helpless against the enemies of his own. Jeremiah knows that he couldn't defend himself against all these people. He put his cause into the Lord's hands. And what did the Lord see in Jeremiah's heart? He saw a heart that loved the Lord and simply, plainly, and truthfully proclaimed his word. The Lord knows the hearts of his children. He also knows the hearts of his enemies, because we're told that everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom he must give account. So Jeremiah is confident. The Lord's going to act. The Lord's going to act in his righteousness. He's going to protect him, and his righteous judgment is going to come upon the people. Now, Jeremiah is not asking for vengeance or revenge. He doesn't hate his enemies. He's simply saying, Lord, defend your word. Defend your truth. At stake is the very word of God. And he knows that God is faithfulness to his own name and will bring about justice for all to see. So with that little prayer, Jeremiah just sits back and lets God do his work. Wonderful, wonderful lesson for one in its early ministry, or for one early in one's life. Trials, troubles, problems come your way, and we worry, and we get all bent out of shape. The Lord says, lay it all on me. I'll take care of it. Put your confidence, trust in me in all the problems of your life. It's a powerful comfort in knowing that the believing child of God can lay all of his cares, all of his concerns, all of his problems, all of his trials, all the tribulations of life upon the Lord. You have problems in life? Lay on the Lord. He'll bring his will come to pass. There's also a warning for the child of God too. The Lord knows our hearts of faith, but he also knows our sinful heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our sinful actions. He knows our sinful words. Well, we can hide them from our parents. We can hide them from our spouse. We can hide them from our friends. Hide them from our children. Hide them from our pastor. Hide them from our members. And yet, God sees into our hearts, sees our miserable sins. And that's why we need to see repentance and that wonderful gift of forgiveness through Christ Jesus, and the powerful protection that God gives to all of us who are called his children. So we're going to apply this text to ourselves, and in so doing, that is our theme. Our theme is, our comfort in times of crisis is found in the Lord. Two important points. The Lord understands what is happening, and the Lord is on our side. The Lord understood what was happening with Jeremiah. Jeremiah had no clue. But the Lord said, I'm also on your side, Jeremiah. So, do you think the Lord knew what was happening a week ago Friday when Hurricane Harvey smashed into the coast of Texas? Do you think the Lord knew that there are going to be 50 inches of rain over Houston and other parts of the state? Do you think the Lord knew that there are going to be thousands of thousands of homes that not only just damaged, but destroyed completely and lives lost? Do you think the Lord knows what's going on in North Korea, Afghanistan, Iraq, and other troubled spots? Does the Lord know what's going on here in Middleton, Madison? Do you think that God's still in control, even in the midst of crisis and disasters? Of course he is. In the midst of crisis and disaster, we may be in shock. We may be surprised. We may be in confusion. We may not know what to do. We may, in fact, become numb. Depression may set in. We may not even know where to turn. How to get out of the problem? Anger, resentment, frustration, self-pity, sometimes even hopelessness. All those things come upon people who are caught in crises and disasters. But we need to remember always, the Lord knows what is happening in our individual lives and in this whole world. Jeremiah could have easily despaired, knowing his own townspeople were plotting to kill him. He could have quickly sunk into self-pity, could have quickly blamed God and said, here, I'm so faithful to you, Lord, and now they want to kill me and put me to death. But he didn't. Some of those human feelings, Jeremiah felt, shock and sadness, but many of those sinful reactions that many of us respond to in crises and despair and disasters, he didn't have. He simply turned to the one who promised to him, for I am with you to deliver you. Jeremiah was shocked. He was saddened. He was sobered into realizing what kind of a fight he was in. A fight for his own life. And so we too need to be sobered into realizing what kind of a fight do we have every day of our lives? A fight for everlasting life. A fight for our soul. Our fight, our warfare is a fight for life too. For the Lord has revealed to us a secret. The secret is there's someone out there who's seeking to kill you and me spiritually. There's someone out here in this world who wants to lead me away from my heavenly home, take away my inheritance, lead me away from perfect peace and contentment with the Lord, and that is the old evil foe. The words of the Apostle Paul are so applicable in this text. Paul writes, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against human beings, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Satan's one desire is that we, like the people of Judah, say this: "The Lord won't condemn me. I belong to a church. I go to church. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm a good person." Satan will try to let us use Christ and Christianity as some kind of good luck charm or superstitious belief. As long as we go through the motions, say the right words, do the right things, all will be fine. Satan will try to lead us to believe that God can only see us on Sunday morning when we're in church. So then we need to, you know, obey him, we need to worship him then, acknowledge him, cater to him. The rest of the week, do whatever we want, because he's never going to know. But God sees our hearts every single day of our lives, every moment of every single day. The preaching of the law is needed to lead us to acknowledge our sins, repent of our sins, lay them all on the cross, and then the gospel message is needed to proclaim to you and me that the Lord is on our side. He destroyed all of our enemies because he loves us. And then he sent his son into this world to take our place, to live that perfect life of obedient love we could not live, and to be damned, to die and be damned for us who deserve to be damned, and then rose again to assure us all of a resurrection to everlasting life. Satan has been chained to the gospel. Death has been defeated. Sin has been locked up. The door to heaven has been opened. And life has been assured to every one of his children. The Lord has rescued us from every evil attack and will bring us safely into his heavenly kingdom. So in times of crises, in times of disaster, may we be led to remember this lesson of Jeremiah. Turn to the Lord. Turn to his word that will sustain you and me through every single problem, every single dilemma, every single tribulation or trial or trouble in your life. Remember those 2 points. The Lord always understands what is happening in your life. Maybe a shock to you or me, maybe surprising you and me, but the Lord already knows. And 2, the Lord is always on our side. Praise God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.